นะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะทัตมาโนปิโยโหติติWelcome to the another Sunday talk. Today topic is who dares or not, who chairs wins. I try to remember the title that my friend told me where it come from. It came from the SAS motto.Who dares wins, and I never knew that before, but I tried to do the research, and anyone who brave or have courage or audacity to do risky thing wins, but he just want to change the title to the Buddhist theme, who chairs win, and then when I say in Thai way, we always,neglect to speak the last consonant. He said, no, no, you need to say S, chairs, wins. And he had to do like, otherwise people don't understand that. I have to practice quite a lot on that. Because all the time we always eat up the last consonant and we don't speak the S.And then from time to time, I cracking joke with the people who listening to the Thai way of speaking English. Speaking English, what we heard, and we heard quite a lot. That I cracking joke quite many, many times. Many people might think I can be alone. I be independent. I don't need to rely on anyone. I have my profession. I earn well, so I don't need anyone help. That people might have a lot of confidence and sometimes can be conceit. That I'm, for example, I'm a doctor and I don't need anyone to help me. I can do things by my own.But most of the times, even though we have intellectual and very high occupation, the society treats us that really special, we still need help from other people. For example, most of the doctor could not cook well, so you need help of cook. And my teacher, Lung Po Sumeto,He was in the Navy for many, many years. He always told story and told us never upset the cook. Yes, if you upset the cook and you're stuck in the boat, in the ship for 6 months, you don't really know what are you eating. When we're thinking about sharing, people might thinking of sharing material thing, that one thing, and then what material thing is important. Like in the monastery, the monk, we don't cook ourselves, we don't earn money, we don't grow things ourselves. So all of the things that come to our stomach, it relied on generosity of other people, usually people who have good-hearted. And if you remember how Lung Po Sumeto, when he want to come to the West, he reluctant to come. Actually, he think many, many times, no, it's difficult to go to live in the West because no Buddhist there. And when he talked,to Luang Po Cha. Luang Po Cha asked him, do they have any good-hearted people in the West? And he think, yes. Probably they have many good-hearted people in the West, and Lungpo Cha told him, go and live with them. And that's how we survive in this environment, different environment, not Buddhist country, but so many things might be better than Buddhist country, because sometimes to be Buddhist, people just born to be Buddhist, but they still struggle in terms of try to learn about Buddhism. And sometimes they learn, but they don't practice according to Buddhism. Sometimes very generous toward the monk, but not really kind toward their friend. Sometimes even small thing, Buddhists cannot accept. Buddhists can be very high, have very high ideal how to be a good person, but to share simple thing to the friend, it's not so easy, especially neighbor, especially someone that look better than us. We cannot see them as our friend. We start to get jealous and envy, and the problem created. And when we live in the world, the first simple thing that we can share with is material thing. Even though in the West, people might don't want to share because it look like destroyed other people pride. When if you live in Asia, very easy to just share food, simple food, or used cloth or used things that you already used, you can give to somebody else. They quite accept quite well, man. Even though it not might not be new, but it's still usable. And if you live in England, you want to give something to someone, you have to ask them first, do you like to have this or not? It, for me, it's quite different perspective and different thing that I see. Because in Thai culture, we base our culture on the Jataka, Vesantara Jataka, the last life of the Buddha, the Bodhisattva, before he became the Buddha. The Bodhisattva gave everything, but I could not make sense. It doesn't make sense to me when he gave up his family. At the time, I didn't understand why the Bodhisattva gave up his kid, his son and daughter, and eventually his wife. I don't understand that. It looked like the Bodhisattva is just selfish. And most of the time, people see the monk like a selfish. And you practice by your own, just cut the small channel, small hole, then you can go by yourself. You don't look, you don't want to help other people. Even my cousin, when he told me, when he saw me as a to become a monk, he told me like that. You cut the small hole just to escape by your own. And when I look back 30 years later, so many people, including my cousin, he created so many holes and tried to help so many people except himself and his family. Why I say that? Because as a policeman and as a police officer, you need to be posh. You cannot just act like ordinary people, especially when you go to a restaurant or you go to a pub and you want to show off to your friend. You give tips to the singer. You cannot just give 20 baht or 100 baht. You need to give 1,000. 1,000 baht in Thailand is quite big. And you give to the, you give in Thai we call garland, puang malai, give puang malai to the beautiful singer, okay, 1,000 baht. But to give to family, it's quite difficult to give because it have nothing interesting there. So that's how many people create too many holes for other people, but not for themselves. And when we talk about sharing, we talk about share something. And I start with the Pali, Tathamano Piyo Hoti in Pali. It means the translation, roughly translation, it means the giver is India, himself or herself, to other. Tathamano Piyo Hoti. Piyo is mean love or beloved. Tathamano Piyo Hoti. When you give something to someone, with genuine feeling of giving, and when they know that in not a hook, in not a beard, that they start to like you. I remember the documentary before I prepared this talk. I tried to search for that documentary, but I could not find it again. I remember one of the man. There was a bear, big brown bear, came to his garden. And he started to throw peanuts to the bear. And he started to learn that the bear seemed to like that peanut many. And he gave many to that bear. And later on, he just have the jacket, really big jacket, filled with nut in there. And he started to throw to the bear. And the bear come closer and closer, and eventually he be able to let the bear eat from his hand. It's quite amazing because the bear is quite big, you know, small creature, and it looked quite tame. And later on, cut story short, he can go into the bear den and be with the bear cubs. For me, quite touching, actually. I just, wow, that's amazing. Amazing. You might think he just took advantage of using the bear to make a film. Yeah, you can think like that. But without he doing that, the documentary wouldn't be there. At least I see the human being can be connect with the bear in the sense of really close. And people know that when the bear have cubs, they can be quite dangerous. They're really dangerous. But this man, he can just went into the den and lying down there and make a film from inside the bear den. I think that is amazing. Anyone, if he listening to my talk, hopefully he can listening. And if you send the link to me, very grateful. I would like to see you again. I quite love it, actually, to see things like that. To see, yeah. And thing like this, when you give something to someone with the feeling of you really want to share, and you cry to that person, to that animal, to that being, not too long, you make friendship. You can come closer and closer to that family or that animal. We can do like that without the feeling that I'm going to be hooked in there and you're going to catch me like fishing. You're not like that. If people can do that, we can see by the way we share. But if we share too much, the problem is, when we share, it seems to be people like us, people love us, but people don't understand. If you share too much, you open too much, it can be a problem too. And I remember I read one of the book from I cannot remember his name right now. His surname is Sin, Z-I-N-N, Harvard Sin maybe. I think there's a grand, and he's a father-in-law of John Kabat-Zinn, and people who love mindfulness, stress reduction. You might know John Kabat-Zinn, but don't take my word as the reference because my brain, and I have to use a lot of hardware, CPU of my brain to try to remember things and come into Thai word and translate into English, and that don't try to remember. And okay, he said it won't work with me. With Ajahn Amaro, it might work well, but with me, it don't. And he talked about when we know that our European who went to who travel and found the new land, his name not Cook, not Captain, I cannot remember his name now. Captain who found America. Sorry. Columbus, thank you. I cannot remember because Columbus. And when he went there, and the native came, they never seen the boat, the ship before. I think for them it looked like spaceship. If we see something like big and fantasy and quite big and land in the middle of Amaravati, I don't think anyone going to sit here and listen to my talk. People will go, wow, there's a spaceship come down and the green being come out and then and they're floating around. I don't think anyone going to just sit here and enjoy Ajahn Kongrit talk. And we're going to go there and have a look, right? That's quite common. And for the native, they look like that. They see the ship. Some of them, they not even see the ship, because they never seen it before, and then their brain cannot function. And what is that? It's quite big. And when they see European, they're quite white. White skin, they're really white. And for them, because they're dark like me, right? They just what they try to connect this, because they are very open society compared to European at that time. They just try to come and invite them, just be friend with them, want to trade with them, and they don't know weapon, they don't know sword, they don't know gun. They have something else, but they don't have sharp object like that. And Columbus just show him the sword. One of the native just took the sword out from the shelf and cut himself. Because he didn't know what is it. And for the native didn't written down what they encounter with. Maybe they written down, but we destroy all record already. We don't really know, because we think we are so civilized, and we went there, we just okay, anything from them is not important. And what make me feel a little bit sad, how in the diary of Columbus, I not quote him what he wrote, because I could not remember, but what I can remember roughly, he just said, these people, they don't know, even they don't really naive, they don't really know, even they just cut themselves when they handle the sword, and they cut themselves by ignorance, but they look handsome and fast, quite handsome and strong. If we subjugate 50 of them and make them work as we want, that would be perfect. That's how, when we think we are civilized, and then we went to another country, we just look down on them. You don't understand it. In the West, we don't do like this. Our culture is not like this. You have to adapt to my culture. This is another direction. If you share with now, you don't know how you extend yourself. When you extend it too far, your limb might be disappear, because other people might want to cut your limb out. They don't want you to eat from your hand, but they want to eat the whole hand. And if you don't be careful enough. And that the two extreme, like the one is you see the bear, and someone who feed the bear and make friend, another one who come and try to be friend and connect, and the whole nation disappear. That we have to be careful. And then sometimes, as the people who are educated and we are so intelligent and we have so many resources to give away to other people. I remember one of the talk that Ajahn Amaro gave a long time ago. Some people, they would like to have compassion toward the society. Anytime they talk about compassion or relaxation, they just straight out, because they themselves taught compassion and relaxation, but they themselves could not absorb, could not practice. They just have the idea, help society so much, don't even have time for their own family. And later on, it became the compassion fatigue. So tiring, I want to help that person, I want to help this government, I want to help that nation, I want to help, and then we don't see how much can we help. When we help without learning what they want first, what they need first, it can be dangerous too. Then not dangerous for us alone, but for them. Why? Because I learned from World Service, BBC World Service, many years ago. I tried to understand the British way of speaking. I tried to copy the most I can do to learn English. And then I see my brother monk, he listening to Radio 5. I tried to copy him, but too much for me. Yeah, I don't understand sport. I didn't understand politics and Radio 5, a lot of sport and politics, and I just cannot. So I tried to search which radio can. I found the BBC World Service. They seem to be perfect because they got Indian dialect. I don't know when they speak, they check their head or not, but I can talk Indian dialect and African English dialect and Thai. The Thai dialect is easy because we say I can understand more. And a story about people in the West would like to help the tribe in Africa because they see that the tribe in Africa, they struggle, they don't have running water. So with a good idea, very good idea, to have clean water and running water. My family, when I was born, we don't have running water either. Yes, I'm quite familiar with that. And when we want to go to have water, we have to go to the big marsh and then carry in baskets, maybe carry half a kilometer, quite long. And when you see, when we in the movie, you can see someone sit in the bath and water maybe 50 liters. I just feel, wow, if I have to carry water like that, I wouldn't be able to enjoy that bath at all. Because if you want to do that bath like that, why must you let the buffalo eat first, drink that water first, and we bath inside, and the leftover of that bath we might do washing up, and then later on we might use in our toilet, the whole thing. But for you, you might be okay, just sit in the bath and enjoy a lot of foam. I don't know how many people can do that, but it look luxurious. And the idea to help people in Africa is quite good, actually. It's quite good. After they got the running water for the tribe, people in Africa, people enjoy for a while, but later on, the problem arrived. Why problem arrive? Because usually the men have to go for hunting, and the women, they have to do something. They have to go to fetch the water quite far and to have water enough to use, and they have to walk quite a long time. And then when there is running water, women have nothing to do. So what else? Chit-chat, and then start from chit-chat to be gossiping, and later on continue to be have the quarrel, and then they don't want to do anything because their life is so easy. That's how when we want to help someone, we have to learn first what is good way to help them. If we know how to the good way to help them, and then we know the amount, how much can we help, how much can we share, not too little, not too much, until you harm yourself. And when you help other people too much, and then they take advantage from you. And like usually, even if you remember the colonial time, usually people just come and at the beginning it be like want to trade. When they see the gap, the loophole, and something you can conquer, and then from the trade become controlled by military control. I remember another World Service documentary when China start to get rich. At the beginning, I think 2010 or 2005, I cannot remember exactly, we talk about China didn't use hard power. China tried to attract other people by soft power, by language, by culture. Like India, people love India because India don't invade any nation. And then they talk. People like it, actually. The documentary make it so well. And because Chinese language is quite beautiful, especially the character. Anytime that I saw the Chinese character, I thinking about Kung Fu movie. I love that one. And about a year later, because we think Chinese, it won't be like the West, because Chinese used culture, used language to attract attention, attract love from other society. And then a year later, China draw the China Sea line, go to Philippines, Indonesia, Brunei, Malaysia, China, draw the South Sea lines is quite big and affect everyone else. And because China is so big and they are rich, and then they have a big military, and people are afraid that how, when we don't really know what's going on, we try to come up with the idea that, wow, they really good, and then we try to present our thought to them, they might think like this, but we don't really know what are they thinking, especially when someone who getting richer, not just only China, in Thailand, 30 years ago, I think, we start to get richer, a little bit richer, and we thinking about ourselves as the tiger, the number 13 in Southeast Asia. And because we start to produce more and earn more. And what we need now, we need submarine. Because we are richer. And who is, when we need submarine, who cannot stand still is Malaysia. Because we have border with Malaysia. So Malaysia, they want to acquire a tank. And Thailand, when Malaysian would want to have tank, we question them, why do you want to have tank? You have only border with me. Why you want to have tank? And the Malaysian government, why you need to have submarine then? So that how, when you get richer, you might not think about your own neighbor in a good way. You just want to invade other people. That is ordinary people mind. And did we think in terms of sharing things in the beautiful way when I was young? Because my family, my mom look after me, raised me up so I would say too well compared to many family. And when she woke me up, she would be really soft voice and call me dear son. Time to eat, wake up, eat. That how my family, I'm always sleep in the same bed with my mom and hug her, or until I was 13. For you, in the West, might be 13, too big. But for me, 13, still baby. And my mom always wake me up like that. And I remember how much I love her, how much I care for her, how much I know that for her, she cared for me so much. And until I became a monk, she still, for the Thai family, to be temporary ordained is all right. But for when I started to be longer and longer, she liked it in one sense, but she didn't like it in another sense, because most of the, if you are the good boy, a good son, they would like you to start a family, right? And I'm not sure how much my family look at me, but when I told her I would like to disrobe, and she went pale. Maybe I'm not a good son. Just okay, you disrobe. She just went, it's all right, but she went pale. And when I stay as a monk, and she always follow me to any monastery, anywhere I stay, until she got grandson. And she forget about me. Don't want to follow me anymore. I don't envy them, actually. I just feel like, oh, good time. That we talk about sharing, like in the time of the Buddha, people might think, okay, in the time of the Buddha, as a Buddha, people might give him what the Buddha liked all the time, even though the Buddha himself is an enlightened one, is the founder of this religion. But when he have to live according to what other people give. It's not just something that he just decide. People, if someone are vegetarian, you might be like the Buddha eat only pure vegetarian. And people might think like that because the way the Buddha talk about Buddhism, it seems to be like he not allow or encourage one not to kill, not to lie, not to commit sexual misconduct, not to intoxicate themselves and not to steal. But to be honest, the Buddha eat anything that consider food. People might not believe me. The Buddha eat anything that consider food that people offer to him. But luckily, at that time, people don't eat meat like heavily like we do nowadays. But in the old days, there are many people who are just ordinary people. They are not vegetarian, especially before Hinduism, it was Brahmanism. They don't encourage anyone to be vegetarian like Hinduism. In the old days, they're just ordinary people. They went for hunting. And when they offer something to the Buddha, if it comes from a genuine offering, and come from kindness, come from what they like to share, the Buddha accept it. And in one sutta, I think it, if I remember, if I can find it, it obey me. I write down so many things. I prepare so many things. And then when I want to fight it, I don't know where it is. It talk about one of the layman who went to offer to the thing to the Buddha. And this one is called the giver of agreeable. And then one occasion, the Blessed One was dwelling in Vaisali, in the hall, and with the peak roof in great wood. And then one morning, the Blessed One took his bow and rope and went to the residence of household Ukka in Vaisali. And when he sat down there, and the Ukka approached the Blessed One and said, "One day, in the presence of the Blessed One, I heard and learned this. The giver, what is agreeable, gain what is agreeable. And one day, is my soft flour porridge is agreeable? Let the Blessed One accept it from me out of compassion. And the Buddha accept that with compassion. That the first thing is usually in the time of the Buddha, when they offer food to the monk, they offer porridge first. Look like now there, you have soup first. When you have soup, and then the main course came later, and just to get out from the sutta. I remember when my teacher came to England, and we went to Portugal. We went to a very beautiful place that the lay supporter offered us to spend the night. It's really posh and beautiful, and they're going to offer us the meal, because I didn't know how the Portuguese and Westerner food court look like. And so they offer soup, and I thought, just that is. So I told my teacher, eat all of them, because I think this is what we're going to eat today. And we ate a lot of bread and soup. We nearly filled up, and the main course came. That's how it works, right? When you don't know food. And after porridge, and the household, here again, Bante, in the presence of the Blessed One, I heard and learned that the gift of what is agreeable gains what is agreeable. Bante, my pork embellished with jujube is agreeable. Let the Blessed One accept from me out of compassion. And the Blessed One accept that with compassion. That how the sutta come about. This one, the sutta is agreeable in Anguttara Nikaya. Sometimes people think, wow, the Buddha don't do that. It's just maybe they write it down later. It's not sure. But only one sutta that you can see that the Buddha accept pork in the sutta. When we talk about this, when we see that how in the Buddha time, how the Buddha connect with other people, thing like this, be thinking about accept material thing, to share material thing. But the next one, that the highest, the way of sharing, we share something, it immaterial, that knowledge, power, and comfort, love, not tangible thing. That one, especially something that will make you feel wow. That if someone share with you in the right time, in the right moment, and you feel wow, and change your life. If can be changed until you get enlightened, and you be Ariya Pukkala, that can be really special sharing. And one day I travel with Thanachan Amaro we sat in the van together, and the Achan talk, when I just have to search for where to go and who to contact and what time we can to reach there and connect with other, and the one who organized it, the Achan just start to talk, and this story make me stop and listen. Okay, but my phone is still on my hand, because I want to write it down. Because this one is amazing for me. Wow, that I want to hear, I want to remember. I just told him, Ajahn, I love story. Something you told me, I might not remember, but story I remember well, but it's not 100% accurate. And he said, ask me then. And then he started to tell story of his when he was teenager, but don't take my word as like a quote from Ajahn Amaro. You may ask him later, but he told me when he was 18 years old, hippie loved to drink, and he don't tell anything to his friend about his family. But he's looking for something that is out of his study, and he went to see one of the psychic one. He talked about this person, the reputation from this man, he's a psychic person. I don't know how psychic, maybe it just sap and make you feel, wow, maybe like that. But after the Achan went to see him, and the first chat that they in that exchange, that man told him, his name Trevor Ravenscroft, the one who wrote the book, The Spears of Destiny, and he told Achan Amaro that, you have very strong connection with horses. That Achan just shocked. How did he know? I never told anything to anyone. I never told any my family to anyone. And then he started to incline to listening to Trevor Ravenscroft more. And one day, he told Achan Amaro that your destination lies in north of India. No, because he interested in something, but not India. And he thought the Buddha came from China. And that one, he still thinking the Buddha from China, not India. Never mind. And later on, Trevor Ravenscroft told him that you never be satisfied with anything in the world. You need to seek for another thing else. That is the moment that he think, yes, he know me. And he know me. Because the Achan have a lot of potential. He can write well, he can speak well, and he love to speak, and people love his speech. So if he want to work, his godfather is he got the diamond mine in South Africa. He can be rich or he can be a writer, but he not interested in anything like that. He want to do something else different, but he love that one. So he searched for spiritual life, spiritual path. That's why we have Achan Amaro stuck with us, have to stuck in the monastery, and you have to feed him because of he's a monk now. So he needs your generosity. But even though he loved what Trevor told him, but he still think Trevor didn't know everything because the Buddha from China. That's what he thought. And until one day, his young monk, he told, young monk or Samanera, I don't know. No, the Buddha came from India. No, from China. And the Samanera of the monk friend had to took him to the library here in North India. And Achan Amaro stopped. And then he said, yes, Trevor know everything about it. He shares so many things. I like the story like this, especially when I was young, my mom always told me story. And my mom is a bad storyteller. Anytime that she told me that it never finished because I fall asleep first. And the story never been this. And one of the story, I cannot remember this one exactly my mom told me, or I just read this one and I think maybe she told me this story as well, but I cannot remember. This one is about this girl who spoke in flower. Pikun in Thai, if anyone who the time to speak, they don't want to speak out, people said, why don't you speak? You afraid that your flower, golden flower, going to drop from your mouth? It means that you time to speak, but you don't speak now. This story is quite, I make it really short. Is a girl, is a poor girl, and when after her father passed away, she have to live with stepmother and stepsister, and they don't like her. They use her really badly, like we use our young monk, like that. And then she so suffer. She have to clean the house. She have to carry the water. But she have a kind heart person. Her name is Pikun. Pikun is mean bullet flower. And one day, one of the old lady, bend down like my mother come and ask for water for her, and she had to carry water for a long, long way, but she gave that water to the lady. The lady started to drink more and ask again and again, but the girls gave her that water, and the lady just gave her a blessing in return. And any time that you speak in kind heart, from your kind heart, and you're going to have a flower, bullet flower, golden bullet flower drop into out of your mouth. It's good, isn't it? Golden flower drop into your mouth. And when the girl came back to the family and told that a stepmother, and she just asked her to speak and again and speak more because she can sell that flower. And the girl cannot speak anymore because she got sore throat, and the mother beat her up, and she just cannot bear. So she sent her own daughter to try to find the old lady. But another girl went there, and instead of seeing the old lady, she saw the beautiful young lady dressed in silk, in Thai silk. Like if you see the Thai lady came to the monastery during the festival, you can see the silk Chinese walk like an angel, look like the tree spirit, and beautiful. And sometimes I ask them, how can you go back into the tree, because they are so beautiful, like a tree spirit. We call Nang Mai. And the girl, you see, when they saw that young lady dressed up better than her, she started to get envy. When the lady asked for water to her, no, she didn't give water to that young lady. And the lady just cursed her. Because if you speak with your jealousy, going to have worm out from drop from your mouth. I just think about that. That one of the stories I think my mother might told me as well, but I read from the book. If you don't want to know what this book is, it is it's about Thailand actually, and the Thailand, the language that you want. If you like to learn Thai, it's the easiest language in the world. That's from the book. That when story like that, sometimes we might think story like this is not having an impact, but actually it can have a very big impact to one life, especially when they talk in the true sense and the true genuine with metta, with kindness, and then not only does people talk to people like this, sometimes it can manifest in the dream. I remember the story that Ajahn Amaro told me again in the van, and he talked about someone dream, and it can help to find her dead body. And I thought, I should try to search for that book. I thought it's a thin book like that, right? And then Ajahn said, Ajahn, I cannot find that book. Can you help me? And say yes, and come to my kuti. I'll give you the book. And when he showed this book to me, I just luckily that he marked for me. Otherwise, a thick book for that. It's about consciousness and universe. And when I do the chanting before I go to this story, I mean, I do the dedication of the merit. And if you come to the monastery, we chant. We chant the sharing an aspiration. We chant quite a lot, and start with, through the goodness that's arise, this for my practice. May my spiritual teachers and guides of great virtue. This one is all right with me because it's quite beautiful. But when it go further to where? To where is it? The sun and the moon. Why you share blessing to the sun and the moon? For me, I don't quite like it, to the Mara, to the one who don't like you, to the Lord of Death. Why we have to share that merit to that being? But when I learn more about this, as a Buddhist, we share to everyone, we share to everything, and when come back to the consciousness, and this one come from Sir Roger Penrose, and a mathematician. I believe that he's a Nobel Prize in mathematics, and he talk about this quite a lot. And the story I would like to share is the lady, the lady, he disappeared. She would disappear, and the family and her fiancé try to search for her. They found only the car just parked nearby the road and no sign of struggle or fighting, and she just disappeared. And she's supposed to come back home, and her fiancé going to took her to the supermarket and to somewhere to get the present for her birthday, but she disappeared. And this one based on the court and psychiatric police and investigative record and interview of many people in district attorney in Santa Cruz. And when the lady disappeared, the family tried to find her, but they could not find her. And then another night, the name of the lady named Tanya C, capital Z, and she would disappear. And then one day, the lady, her name Susan, they don't have no connection between the two. Yeah, that Tanya just came to Susan, Susan, dream and told her what happened to her, and she lead Susan in the dream to see where the body is. And Susan, after she woke up, is quite vivid. And the same night, the one who murder and sexual assault to Susan, Tanya, got a dream as well. Got a dream that the lady came to haunt him. And this thing is not connected because people don't know each other yet, but they found out after the interview. And when they sorted out that the man named Damon, he used LSD, and he have been hallucinated that devil came to talk to him all the time, and the devil told him to go and took this lady as sacrifice, and he followed that the devil to do the way that devil asked him to do. And when Susan or Susie report to the police, the first day they went there, they cannot find the body. And the next night, the Tanya came back to the dream again and told Susie again, you have to go to this place. And then eventually they found the body. And that was the record that they show. If we talk about psychic power, they might think, oh, if talk from the monk, you hallucinated, or you think about the psychic power too much. But when you're listening to someone who from Oxford, wow, interesting. That's how we share. Not only that, before that, in 1968 or 86, I cannot remember exactly, 1965, actually, 1965, three days before President Abraham Lincoln assassinated, he got a dream about his own death. And he told story to his family and his wife and friend, including Will Lehman, and he talked in detail. And on the he talked on the 11th of April 1865, and 3 days later, someone assassinated him. That sometimes sharing things like this, even in the dream, you can see that when you know how to share properly, when you know how the strength that you can tell you how much you can share, when you know exactly, you can win. But if you don't know how to share, you know you share everything and open the house, open the door for everything, even in your meditation, it won't work. Because when you try to accept everything, you try to like everything, you try to be pink in every detail, try to have metta, love towards everyone, it's impractical. And in the Buddha way of living, in the Buddha way of teaching, even one of the senior monks in Thailand, he said, when you want to do something, you need to learn how to select, how to choose. Anything is valuable, anything it benefits you, and we keep that one, you bhavana, you make it happen, make it develop by your own wisdom. Even though for someone who went for fishing in Asia, they might fishing with the net, they go under the water and take fish or something that they can eat. Anything that is unusable, they throw it away. Even someone who do fishing, do hunting, they always select. But for us, someone who would like to be kind, to want to share, want to give the idea to other people, we need to select and use the right time, right moment. Otherwise, it won't work. Even the time of the Buddha, when the Buddha meditated and got enlightened, at that time, from my understanding, the Buddha not really secret. He just sit somewhere that people knew that one of the monks, shaving head, sit and meditate there. Because from what I read from the sutta, from the Vinaya, you know, always someone come approach the Buddha. After, from time to time, someone might come offer food, someone might come and offer something, someone might come and offer to talk to him. And then when at the time the Buddha already enlightened, he already know by his own that he become an arahant, he is the Buddha, but he don't develop fully understanding of how to teach yet until one of the Brahmin approach him, the one who love to say, they go, there's someone who just don't like anyone, that in Isan way, Asian way, and he went to see the Buddha. Wow, you look so bright, you look amazing. Yeah, are you a god, or are you a deva, or are you the Brahma? Or no, are you a human being? And no, I'm not a human being either. And, you know, who you are? And the Buddha just speak and share what he know. And I am the enlightened one, and no teacher, I no one teach me and enlighten, I fully awaken, that Brahmin just say, good for you, bye-bye. That how, if you share in not the right time, it won't work. And if you want to share and you want to win, so win in this case, it doesn't mean that we win, we earn more, we get enriched, or not like that. We win, this means it benefits both yourself and other people. And the Buddha himself, as an arahant don't need to get anything from other people except from one meal a day, just a little meal. No need to get praised, no need to get prayed for, no need to sacrifice or anything to the arahant, because they don't need that one. They are human being who can sacrifice themselves and give knowledge that they have to benefit all human being or a being in the world. That if you like to share and you like to win, do in the proper way and see our own strength. Don't make it to be compassion fatigue. I think I talk long enough today. Today I talk a lot, actually, because Ajahn Amaro not here. I try to imitate that. Ajahn Amaro love to talk. I like to talk too, and I can talk. Even if you listen to me in Thai, usually, you know, what most of my lay supporters just because I okay. I would like to end the talk for today. it's a time for tea. If you can come back 20 path, and it's a good time for question and answer. I think someone ring the bells outside. Wait for people to come in, back in. And you have any question, you may ask, but wait for the microphone. But I don't know where the microphone is at the moment. I think you just grab that microphone, one of the wireless one, just turn on and yes, it might work. Can you turn on first? No. That I will try.
Hola, hola, ya. Yeah. Only one.
Just only one is good enough. Thank you. Anyone have the question? You may wait for the microphone. And maybe leave somewhere first and then... When I prepare the story, I just think about when I was young, thinking about it to be the royal family, you marry and everything happily until the end of your life, and really beautiful story. After marry, everything perfect. That the ideal, right? But in the real life, doesn't work like that. And Ajahn Amaru always explain to the young monk who come and ordain, and he said, wedding is one thing, marry is another. And then, because to ordain is a successful, you ordain, but to live as a monk, it need to learn more. And sometimes it's a big struggle for many people because it's not so easy. And we can see for the Thai, we love royal family. Most of us like royal family. When we heard that Prince Harry and Meghan don't want to be in the royal family, we thought, why? Everyone want to be princess. But for them, they don't want to be princess and prince. That's why I sit like that. I don't know how the British way of thinking is, but for the Thai, we think like that. Thinking about dream in the old day when I was just about 10 or 8, I cannot remember exactly. My auntie dream about, she got a vivid, really vivid dream that the two Buddha Rupa just manifest and request that they want to stay with her, and my auntie just accept only one. They just raised one hand, and another one, they receive only one. Another one just its neck just broken. That form in the dream and in the morning, because we don't have television, we don't have anything fancy at that time. So we talk more, and then my auntie told story in the family circle. I quite like it. I remember so well, but because my memory not that great, so I have to talk to my cousin, and my cousin told me, "Can you remember this story?" I said, "Yes, I remember." And we talk about that Buddha Rupa, and my auntie, after she got that dream, she explained to, she told to the family, and when we did the farming, we have to soak something in the water, and we have to dig the earth, the dirt, the clay to put in our product, the farm product. And my auntie just grabbed something that she thought it unusual. She felt it, that it's unusual thing. So she ran back to the village. It's about half a kilometer from where we work, and asked her and her brother-in-law to go and look for her, and then she found exactly what she dreamed for. The Buddha Rupa is still there, it's still in our family, and that's how the power of the dream. Sometimes people might think, hallucinated, or you might think too much. People might think in that way. But nowadays, people might come back to the citta, the consciousness, the citta, especially with Lungpo Sumedho, when he talk about consciousness and citta, he used interchangeable. Sometimes he meant citta, sometimes he meant vinyana. And you have to see the content. And I just learned last night about the sun, the moon, the universe, and some scientists, they start to see the universe like a living thing. That's why nowadays, you might see people, like I explained to our chanting, dedicate the merit to the sun and the moon. It might be something like an ancient knowledge. You don't understand the moon is not living thing. Actually, we don't really know. And as the someone who educate in the West nowadays, people might see something really physical. We might neglect or disregard with the mind, the consciousness. So many things we don't really know. And some people even approach the monk and say, I don't believe in anything. That a young man in Thailand approached Thanachan Chayasaro. He really proud that he don't believe in anything. Then he really proud. And sometimes we think we don't believe in anything, but we believe in our own thought. And recently, I think in how many months now? I think 25th of December, when James Webb telescope sent out to Rakhine Point 2, I'm really excited. Actually, I'm waiting to hear more about, because how it works, how it functions, it's so amazing. I never heard about Rakhine Point before, and I seem to believe them that the spacecraft going to be there and accompany the Earth. So you ask me, do I really know? I don't know, but I believe them. How many of us know that Rakhine Point is there? If you are, it doesn't work in the laboratory, or you don't have any feel in connect to this kind of thing, you never seen it. And if you go into space, I remember that the face that explode to the sun, it's really hot, maybe 200 degree different between the one in up exposed to the sun and the one that in the shade. Could not imagine. In the world, we sit in the sun and we sit in the shade, it's not much different. But over there, they said, it's very different. And not many of us been there, but we tend to believe in it. And we use the belief as well. Sometimes people might think believe it didn't work, but actually we believe a lot. We use the belief a lot. And another thing I told to people is about, we eat something and the people say carbohydrate came from jam, came from potato, came from rice, come from rice. How many of us, even you are not in the research field, how many of us see how carbohydrates look like? I don't really know how carbohydrates look like. I can see rice, but carbohydrate and vitamin, I don't know how it looks like. I don't know how it's going to function. But I just believe in what the scientific way said. And in Thai, we call group. Group we call mu. Mu, like mu. If you want to have your health be nice and healthy, you need to eat 5 group of nutrient of food. And in Thai, we make a joke. Mu is mean the group of the village. And it means you have to go to that village and the second village and the third village and fifth village, and you have five group of the of that you can be healthier. Then how we cracking joke about thing. Okay, I talk too much now. Any question?
Is it on? Yeah, it's on. Thank you.
Yes, it's on.
Yes, it's okay. Mm. Thank you very much for those insights into sharing. What do you think about, often it's said that people that have less give proportionately more, or they open their homes more, perhaps poorer people, we often sort of get the impression that they are more ready than people that have a lot to share what little they have.
It's quite funny when we, thank you for the question, but when we went for alms round, if you go to the posh area, usually we don't get anything to eat because they, I don't know why, but mostly we go to the just ordinary market. We can have bindabat. The people seem to interest in giving to us more, and the one who have well to do, he seem to be keep for themselves. Maybe because of that, they don't think about other though, that can, they can gain more and they can have more. But not everyone is like that. Some people they might give in another way, but especially someone who meditate. I remember many years ago, 2007, many years ago, I went to Prague. My friend Ajahn Janarasano staying there for the Vassa. And the one who looking after him, he just, at the beginning, he quite worried because he saw our monk have no money. And he said, we cannot come and feed you every day. And that's what he thought, the one who look after the place. And the Ajahn just said, oh, don't worry about us. Don't worry about me. You just give me the place to stay. That's good enough. And then he went for alms round every day. And he came back, and the caretaker is just surprised. And instead of he have to worry about feeding the monk, he have to worry about where he can get rid of leftover food that he didn't eat. And then when I went there, one of young lady, not that young, but she approached us, and she really happy to see us. She approached us and said, I'm so happy you are here. It's wonderful. I never seen the monk bindabat here before. I am a Chan Sumedho disciple. I went to his retreats many, many times. We just smile and waiting, and she talk and talk and talk. And then, good luck, Bhante. That's it. And I said, I thought she going to offer us something, but she didn't give anything to us. And then another one is the teenager. Teenager, they love to see the monk. Anytime they see the monk, they just come in. They saw our bow, it looked like a drum. Usually they say, they just come in. Anything in there? Any snake in there? I said, no, we don't have anything. Why are you here? We're looking for food. Do you have any food? Can you share with me? And they said, yeah, if you want some candy, you can buy some and then put in my bowl. I will give to you, give some back to you. And they laughed. They just left. That's another story. Another one is the Thai always come, and then when they see the monk in another country, they really like it, and they will come, and sometimes they cry, and they sit down, kneel down in the concrete floor, put the rice and the thing in the bowl. For them, it's really beautiful. For us, it's like, well, our culture is like that. But for someone else who observed, and one of them approached us and asked, what do they done wrong? Why you torture them so badly? Because they kneel down, have to put food in our bowl. And we don't know how to explain, actually. The one who think, one of the I cannot remember where I listening from, but one of celebrity when we talk about someone who don't have food to eat, and they try to go to her and explain to her, of children have nothing to eat. What her reply was, why don't she open the fridge? Why don't they open the fridge? For them, because for her, it yes, you open the fridge, you get anything you can eat, but not many people who have the fridge, not even thinking about something in the fridge. Before even the fridge, you don't have it, so something in the fridge is it you cannot think about. We cannot say that the one who have more, they don't share. They might share in another way. Sometimes it depends on how much one understanding is. Ajahn Amaro told story of someone who in the 10,000 Buddha, the one who offer £5, sit in front. I offer to the monastery $5. And big one, $5. Try to show themselves that I am the one who support the monastery. But the one who pay the bill, usually they sit in the back and they keep quiet. It doesn't mean that the one who rich, they don't donate. It depends on the culture. And sometimes when I was young monk, my teacher in Korat told we don't have enough because we are young monks. My teacher, Sikwasa, myself, at that time about 2, and no one look at us like they don't trust us that much. They don't want to donate to us that much. And my teacher trained us to cut the rope, this cut and make it. And after we make it, we send to the senior monk around the country. We make many of them, actually. At first, I felt, why you have to give to other? Because we don't have enough. That's my feeling. I felt like I have to talk to him. I talked to the Ajahn. The Ajahn told me that if you never let the old thing go, the new thing have no place to come. That stuck in my head for until now. Anytime that I see someone giving something, it looks like we circulate. If you want to get the good thing, you give away the good thing and give room. We can say decluster your. And for the Thai, when we see the monastery decluster thing, they complain a lot. The monastery throw away thing, and for us, we could not keep everything, right? And we have our Thai sister. We call declustering nuns. Because she very good in this one go, and it make more room. And we have another one, clustering monk. We take it into the recycling shed. He collect it back and put in his corner. Then he love it. Then he can see both sides. And it doesn't mean that the one who are rich, they always stingy. It not always the case. And the one who poor always generous is not always the case either. But in the Vinaya itself, if the monk, the Sangha, come into the agreement that this family is stream entry and they are poor, if they don't keep invitation, they not allow the monk to go for alms round. Because as a stream entry, people like to keep more. That is their nature. They want to share more. They don't have any sense of giving. They want to share with other people. That's why Ajahn Amaro, when he goes somewhere, anytime that he give a Dhamma Desana, he always try to persuade and give people reflection that instead of we looking for money, we looking for fame, we looking for anything in the world, why don't we change our attention to be stream entry? And it can benefit yourself and can benefit the society. And if everyone is happier because the stream entry themselves compared to the suffering of stream entry and ordinary people, they suffering. It looked like the 16 kilometer in length, in breadth, and in height of solid mountain. That is suffering of ordinary people compared to the suffering for the stream entry is about like the dirt in the fingernail. That's how the Buddha compare. It convincing, isn't it?
I want to talk or ask more about dreams. When you spoke in that book, Consciousness and the Universe, about the dream that the two women had, or the murderer and the woman, I was particularly struck by that, because since an early age, since I was a teenager, I started having dreams that I can actually see something in the future, but I didn't realize until it actually happened. And I'm almost 50 now, so it's been going on for some time. And obviously it goes in cycles. Sometimes periods of quietude, that's when I have dreams that I can really see, but I don't notice it until it happens. And these are my children, and they have told me dreams that's happened to them too. So I wonder about, is this, could you say more about it? Should I develop this more? And what to do about it?
read this book, I think I start to learn as well. Consciousness and the Universe from Sir Roger Penrose. Actually, thing like this is so many things that we don't really know. But when we are nowadays, we think of material thing more. We might neglect or we might disparage something that connect to the citta. Well, as a monk, sometimes when we practice well enough, sometimes we not all the time, we start to feel that person going to come with this thing, and the next day they come and exactly what we need. But when we try to let them come with other thing, it won't happen. It happened by chance because we could not control them. In this book, it talk about a young boy. Now he's not a young boy anymore. That at that time he was a young boy, about 3 to 7. He dreamed about, he saw the ocean recede, and he as a young boy just see, oh wow, he walk into the beach and collect all shells and see the fish flipping around, and everyone just went into the sea, and then wow, wonderful, and then the water is seething. And later on in the dream, he heard the screaming from the happily seeing the beach and the water receding, and they start to scream, and they see the water is now like a mountain, it's like a cliff, and he drowns and he died, and in his dream, in this book as well, and his dream, and until it happened again and again and again, he didn't know about tsunami. He learned about tsunami when he was 25. He think like that. To be honest, I don't have any psychic power, or I'm experienced from time to time with my own dream, in my own, when in my meditation, I not boast it out, but it just when I want to disrobe, it was four years as a monk, I just decide, meditate and make decision. Because sometimes make decision to disrobe or to stay after you fall in love with the form already quite difficult. Like you marry with someone you love, and then one day you found that you married the wrong person. And you start to feel like, what should I do? Because in the old day, we choose to have things like this, and nowadays, he looked like a giant. He doesn't look handsome like a Greek sprints any longer. What should I do like that for them, for me? I have to meditate a lot. And then one day I have a dream. The dream is very vivid, vivid, and everything fall out for me and out from the cave that I stay. I went out and I see everything of jungle is difficult. I went back into the cave and I fly. I saw my teacher talk about me. I just fly, levitate into the and quiet and dark, beautiful. But what he told me was, no, I won't disrobe. That's how I interpret it. And sometimes when many senior monks, many monks, when they cannot make decision, especially in the spiritual way, they make a request to the open air. They open air and said, I cannot make my own decision. May anyone who have more power or more parami come and help me, or please give me a hint in nimitta or dream. And that's how many monks make decision. It doesn't mean that we waiting for God or anything to help us, because we don't believe in that sense. We believe in our own stillness mind and the power of human being, because the Buddha himself, he turned the way he teaches, he direct the attention toward deity, back to human being. That's how he turned direction. A story that how I would like to say is, my friend in Switzerland, many friends they convert to Christianity, and the one who first convert, they really fanatic and was keep really strict, and anything they just thank to God. Thank God for offer me this. And my friend, I call her like my sister. Thai people, they love papaya salad because it's really tasty. And she shared that with her friend. And her friend said, thank God to offer me papaya salad. My friend said, I make it, not God. Sometimes when we think too far, it looks like God tell her to make salad for me. I think it's too far. Some people, they came from another country. Instead of say thank you to the government, they thank you to the country. They think thank you to God that allowed me to come to stay in England. I said, you need to thank you to the government, to the Home Office, more than God. Because when you talk to God, and not everyone agree in one thing, and how many thousand years that we talk about who is the real God, and no, and we cannot come to the conclusion. In the old days, in Sumerian time, in Babylonian, in Assyrian time, they have God Marduk. Have you heard about Marduk? Anunnaki, something like that. We never heard about them. And the God have their own city, and the city itself have their own God. And when they fight, look like the God fight to each other. And then not one God. They have so many God. And we come to Greek, and until we come to Christianity, and now, who is the right one? Okay, if you don't believe like me, you are the go somewhere else, or you die. Or we can think in another way. Dream itself, it can answer so many things. In the Buddha himself, he have a lot of many dreams, five dreams that, if I remember correctly, is about worm in his toe, in his feet, and something come out from his nose, and he interpret all the dream about the sasana going to spread out widely, and people will learn from his teaching quite a lot. But for us, as an ordinary human being who don't have any psychic power, who don't have any knowledge to interpret the dream, we just leave a question mark. And when we leave question mark and we open to listening more, that I would suggest like that. To interpret everything, if I can understand and interpret all the dream that people have, I would interpret the lottery the Euro Lotto, right? And then anyone come to the monastery, okay, now you get this Lotto, and then so many people will love me. I think any more question, and now it's nearly 4 o'clock. You have any question, Julian? You like to ask about how many badges I have? Thank you very much to come to the Sunday talk, and to next talks, I think Ajahn Janadasano, if I remember correctly. If I can remember correctly. Next Sunday and on next Tuesday, Ajahn Jayasaro is coming for the morning. We're going to offer special breakfast dedicated to June Chivatan, Ajahn Jayasaro mother. And he's going to spend some time with just only 3 hours, 2 hours with us. And he will go back to Thailand after his mother funeral. And George Chap, if I cannot, I didn't remember to, I forgot to mention about George Chap. George Chap is the one who helped Long Po Sume to build Chitta Viveka. The one, he is the one who introduced Long Po Cha to the English Sangha Trust. He invited Long Po Cha with the help of Long Po Panyawato over there. Long Po Panyawato contact with George and explain how the monk should live, how the monk like to live in the West, and if we allow the monk to live as they like, and the one who have wisdom, they will spread Buddhism by themselves, that the knowledge, the wisdom that transmit from Long Po Panyananda to George Chap, and George Chap went to see Long Po Cha and invite Long Po Cha, and George Chap will love the human humor of Long Po Cha. When he went there in northeast of Thailand, in quite rural area, and Long Po Cha didn't treat him special, he just treat him like other people. And I remember George Chap told story, he had to sit on the end of the line to eat in the bowl, in the farm from London, eat in the bowl like other people eat, everything mixed in there. The next person next to him was the monastery dog. That's what he told story. I call him Long Po George because Long Po George, we, both of them came to see, when Long Po, George Chap came to see Long Po Sumeto, they were always sit behind Long Po Kuti, and George Chap always have come out from Long Po Kuti and have a cigarette. I make a photo and I show him, and I told him that I'm going to blackmail him because you smoke in the monastery. And when we have funeral, we're waiting for his family to tell us when the day is, and the body going to be in the temple for several days, and we have funeral here. After we send the body to cremate, we correct the ashes, and we are waiting for Long Po Sumeto to come back, and we're going to plant the tree and scatter the ashes in Chitta Viveka. That please keep an eye in the update in our website. Thank you very much for coming. Thank you very much for paying attention. Have a nice day. Have a nice evening.